Hi, group. My name's Terry. I'm a compulsive eater and nervous. Why am I nervous? Well, I was telling someone before the meeting, my fantasy was everyone said, "Oh my God, I've heard her so many times. I'm done with her." And like everybody's like leaving the meeting. So I'm watching you. If you leave, I'm putting you on my resentment list and I'm never calling you. So there you go. So I don't want to spend a long time on my story. I want to spend it on where I am for this year, for this moment. And I will just say, because some people don't know me, and not that you need to know me, I've been in, I joined my first meeting I walked into was April 19th, 1977. I was 25 years old. I am now 74, and it's been quite a ride. I'm so grateful to be able to share my story with you. When I'm maintaining about a 50 to 60 pound weight loss. I've lost pounds. I've also lost 2 inches. I'm not bragging about that one. But anyway, that's what happens when you get older. I had tried everything. And I just a little bit, this isn't Childhood's Anonymous, but just maybe you can relate in or relate out. I had a very, very unhappy childhood, but that's the way I perceived it. My sister, 11 months younger, had a totally different childhood. I was like, who were your parents? They sure weren't mine. So here's the thing, and I heard this once and I loved it. And it's not what happened to us that matters, it's how we remember it and the things I focus to remember on. So, and I can never forget the horror and the awfulness of the disease. I grew up in a very dirty house, very filthy. And I reason I tell you that is I took a lot of responsibility for that. And I'm still a really messy person. You would never know it, but don't open my drawers or closets. But anyway, I don't want to talk about messiness. And I did, couldn't have friendships because we couldn't have people over. I mean, it was, I learned how to be a friend in this program and through making lots of mistakes. Anyway, it was not good, but from my perception. But you know what? There were good times. And when people go, I forgave my parents, there's nothing to forgive. There is absolutely nothing to forgive. No, I can guarantee you, my mother did not wake up and said, let me take a pair of shoes and beat my daughter today, or let me do this. Nobody wakes up praying for the bad or hoping for the bad. So why should I be mad at them? They didn't purposely do it. It's just whatever. Who cares? That's over. I mean, it's like my childhood is over. So I'm here. So why am I talking about it? I don't want to waste time on that. Anyway, I walked in my first two meetings. I heard about OA a couple times. I was 12-stepped when I was a waitress putting myself through school. And they said, oh, I think she's one of us. And I laughed. I thought the first step sounded pretty good. But when I read that second step, I said, oh, yeah, I know what they are. I'm not going there. And reading the God word kept me out of the program for years. Finally, a cynical friend of mine said, oh, I went to OA and they're really nice. I went, oh, okay, then I guess it's okay. Meanwhile, she's not even a compulsive eater and doesn't go to the meeting, but I needed to know that. Anyway, I walked into my first meeting and at first I binged and I threw all the leftover on, in the parking lot because I was never going to eat it again, right? So I wanted to get that last binge in. And it wasn't a strong meeting. There's three people. They were bringing a scale in. They were talking recipes. They didn't have any literature. But I came back the next week. Someone let me read their gray sheet, which is a very restrictive food plan that I followed because that's what they gave me. And then the second week I came back there. And then my boyfriend at the time, my whatever he was, said, oh, I saw a sign for an OA meeting. It's right around the corner. That's when my recovery started. That's when I got the message. I walked in. This is such great news. They said, you have a disease. What I heard was, I'm not alone and it's not my fault. I felt like so happy. Who's happy when they find out they have a disease? We are, because there is a proven workable method that arrests, not cures, but arrests our illness. And I, heard my first the my first speaker I ever heard, and I've said this real quickly. I'll say she was so cute. She was adorable. I was not at a wraparound skirt that didn't wrap. I could tell you my foodalog, and if you want to hear some crazy stuff I did with food, the stealing, the lying, the cheating, feel free, but I don't want to waste my precious time doing that. But I ate in secret. And the deal about the 70s is there were binging wasn't a word for us. There wasn't anything like an eating disorder. It was a very secret thing, and I was very alone. So when I went in my first meeting in 1977, I was not alone anymore, and I had the way that it works. I was so happy, so happy. And in that 3 years, and I think so this woman was so cute and she was adorable, and I didn't want to weigh my food because I thought it was too much like my Weight Watcher days. And then she said she smashed her spinach into a cup, and when she took it out, it looked like a cup. And I went, "Oh my God, that's so much spinach! Yeah, I want this person as my sponsor." And then she ruined it because she said, "And I owe it all to God." I went, "Oh, great," but I looked at her, cute and adorable and happy, and I looked at me, not any of those things. I said, "All right, God, you win." Yeah, really, I did that. Now our conception of God is a little different, and my first big book, all the gods are marked out in black marker, and I still don't have a conception of God that many of you do, and I am so grateful this is a spiritual program and not a religious one, because if it was a religious one, I would not be having this conversation with you. But it's a spiritual one, and I don't even know how to describe that inner strength of good that rules my life. And I've talked to you often about the principles. So I'm not going to talk about God today because I'll offend more people than I don't. So I don't want to, but it's working for me. And I want to feel that power. And I do. I know. I always believed I would recover. So I lost my weight in the first 13 months, but I wasn't abstinent completely. Every couple months, I would get that phenomenon of craving, and I would seek it for a very short time, and then I would jump back on. But that's not full recovery to me. I worked the steps very seriously, but I don't know if I was checking the boxes or just doing them. I've worked them many times, but I really just try to live them. It would almost be better if they weren't numbered. Just live them. Here are your principles for life, unnumbered. That would almost be better than what step are you on? I'm not on any step. I'm just trying to live the best I can. So I've been through a lot, some happy, some sad, but I've had a really good life with a lot of miracles. And I just wanted to spend more of the time talking about where I am now and how I use this program to recover, to live. And I will tell you, it's sort of like past. I'm real funny about expiration dates. You know, you read the expiration dates on food, and if it's bad, you don't want to eat it because obviously it's not good. Well, I have an expiration date on my recovery. It's 24 hours. So every day, and it's like my cell phone. I have to plug it in. Well, I have to plug into this program every day. And you know, sometimes I think, do I trust my car more than I trust this program? I don't like to drive long distances, and I've moved, so I'm 3 hours from my kids, and I go visit them. And I have this great car now that if you go out of your, it lets you know when you can change lanes. I mean, it makes your decisions for you. It is so wild. And if that little thing isn't on, you know you can change lanes safely. And I trust that. I trust that car to keep me safe. Well, can I trust this program to keep me safe and the principles of this program? And that's sort of how I guide the decisions I make. So here's what I'm really wanting to change. Here's the two defects that are still lingering. And I have been in the past a very selfish person. My selfishness has been a cause of so much of my unhappiness. But under that selfishness is fear. Everything. When I first came in this program and I was journaling, and we didn't know about writing wasn't a tool when I first came in, but as soon as it became a tool, I embraced it. I would say, please relieve me of my anger. Please relieve me of my anger. Then it became fear, fear, and now it's selfishness. I'm not so selfish with money, but I'm selfish with my time. I am very selfish with my time, and I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to be selfish anymore. So what's the opposite? Generosity. The opposite. So you practice the opposite. So the opposite of selfishness and is generosity. And I can be generous with my time. And how do I be generous with my time? If you call me, I will listen. I will listen. I mean, not here, but I was just talking to Sunday school class. I said, what's the difference between listening and hearing? You know, I used to have a therapist that goes, I hear what you're saying. And I used to say to him, you hear what I'm saying, but are you listening? To listen is a process, and it's a skill that I've learned in this program. Not to plan what I'm going to say ahead of time, not to interrupt. Oh God, I was such an interrupter. I'm mortified by the person I used to be. I am so mortified. I'm like embarrassed by what a imperfect perfect I was. But one thing I heard in these rooms was, you never rise above the level of being human. Boy, did that make me feel good. I'm human, and we make mistakes. And there's some of you in this room I've called after I've made a mistake, and you helped me through it. But I've learned, oh my God, I'm being so random. I wrote this beautiful speech. I haven't even looked at it yet. I was going to say, welcome to anyway. I never, you know, we make mistakes because that's how I learn. That's how I learn. I'm so sorry I'm being so random. You're like, so what else is new? You're always random. But I mean, I've taken random to a new level right now. But so I'm if anyone who knows me knows I'm not big on the rhyming slogans. If it rhymes, it must be true, right? And so I was writing because I'm really regretting my past. And it says, will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. I am sad that I've hurt people. I am sad that I've made mistakes. I don't know what's the word regret. So you can either, here's everything. This came out of my pen. I'm not making this up. Repair or despair. I went, oh my God, it rhymes. That's what I wrote in my journal. Oh my God, I just wrote a rhyming thing. So I said, okay, let me unrhyme it and say what I mean. I can look back on all the mistakes I've made, and there are many. And I can really be in despair and get into self-hate. Well, that's the hate's a long, strong word. Self-dislike. I don't want to say self-hate. I don't do that. So I can despair, I can regret, or I can repair it. And what I mean by that is, well, stop doing it. Stop it. Just stop it. And that reminds me of my first sponsor when I used to say, I'm eating. She would say one word, guys, get a pen and write this down. Stop. That's all she said. She didn't say, what are you feeling? You know, what does your higher power tell you? What happened yesterday? You know, she doesn't analyze. She just says, stop. And I was like, wow, you know, that was so wise. Just stop. And so with the regrets that I have, how can I show up different today? How can I show up different? And you know, people love us anyway, despite our flaws. People love us not because we're perfect, because we're humans. So that's what I'm trying to do, manifest differently. And I don't want to bring up my, I know, God, believe me, I'm okay. But so I had a major loss in my life, and I have regrets about it. And I was thinking about, what did I really love about my husband? And I wrote down the things that he was. Well, that's what I want to manifest in my life. And when I see something good in, and I see something good in every one of you, when I see something good or you share something, I go, oh, I'm going to manifest that in my life. Oh, that's for me. So I'm just every day just trying, and I'm on an 11-step train. It's sort of like checking the boxes. Yeah, I did my 11th step, but am I really growing spiritually through it? Yeah, I went to a meeting, but am I really in the meeting? Am I really listening to you, or am I checking the box? Yeah, I did my 3 outreach calls. Hi, how are you? Okay, goodbye. This is an outreach call. Boom. That's not to me an outreach call. Oh, I just thought of something. I'm really excited. Are you ready? To outreach, am I reaching you? Are you reaching me? Are we really reaching together? Isn't that great? Rather than, hi, outreach call, how are you doing? I'm okay, goodbye. Okay, that's one down, two more to go. No, I'm not doing
Five
that.
minutes left. Thank you.
Are you kidding me? All right, quick, I got to tell you all my, wow, listen, guys, I'm going to leave my phone number because really, I haven't said all the good stuff. This program works. This program works. I'm just going to tell you. Resign from the debating society. Like, I could rewrite the big book and it would be a bestseller. It would be fabulous. But I've learned I have to focus on what needs to be changed in me, not what needs to be changed in you. What, and maybe nothing needs to be changed. Maybe I'm okay just the way I am, and so are you. What do you know? So I will say a couple things. This is a couple things that changed my life. One, I have a disease. Two, there's a way to arrest it. Three, and someone said this to me and it changed my life. Whatever your program is, hold on to it. It will get better. I can promise you that. It will get better. Listen, I've been in the program 48 years and I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And if I hurt your feelings, I am so sorry. Please let me make it up to you if I didn't listen. Please give me another chance. Because we always have another chance. When someone calls me, if they've had a problem with food, I go, "And you called? Oh, it's easy for me to call you up and say, hey, life is great." But when you're in pain, that's when the time is hard. So when I get those heebie-jeebies and I don't have a phenomenon of craving, I've been the same weight for so many years. It's, I mean, a long time. God, I wanted to tell you about that, but that will be for another conversation, maybe a Sunday topic. But oh, lost my train of thought. Sorry. Anyway, since my time is up, I'll just say that what I want to hear today is how this program has changed your life, because it has changed my life. I don't know what my life would have been like without the program. I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball. I know is it's been very full and very rich, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, and I'm still making mistakes. And I could not have done this without the program. Everything good in my program, I can bring back to the fact that I'm in recovery. I don't say I'm recovered because I'm afraid people say, "Oh, I'm recovered," but that means you're not, or I get a little judgy about that. But I go to a lot of meetings where they're recovered. It's just a word. It's how you live, not a word. But I'm so grateful to be in recovery. And if it happened for me, it can happen for you. And I guarantee, I stand by that, and I'm not changing that. So I really didn't say anything I planned to say. I really had this really great thing written out. It was really good. But I just want to say this, I'm not bored with this program. I am just so, after, you can't afford to be bored. Oh, that's the other thing that good sponsor said. You can't afford to be bored with the program. Isn't that good? So anyway, with that, I'm looking forward to hearing everyone shares about what this program has done for them. And it's been a privilege, and I'll see you next year. I mean, I'll hopefully before that. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great day.